5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's the ultimate business trip, flying in Emirates First Class. With your own fully enclosed private suite, you can order from an extensive international menu along with premium drinks. There's even a bar and an exclusive shower spa on the Emirates A380. Along with chauffeur-driven airport transfers and the Emirates Lounge, it's a better way to do business. Book now on Emirates.com.
Want to know which companies are about to list on the London Stock Exchange? To see an up-to-date list of all the new and upcoming London IPOs, please visit voxmarkets.co.uk/IPO-watch.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Good afternoon and welcome to the podcast. Today is Wednesday, the 24th of July, 2019. I'm Anita Riota and I'll be filling in for Justin as he enjoys some time off. On the podcast today, I'll be speaking with Alan Green as he tells us more about the AIM-listed companies catching his eye. Then we have Richard Houlihan, CEO of Polarian Imaging, ticker POLX, to learn more about the company's £2.1 million raise and the status of their clinical trial. Then, as always, I'll be breaking down the top five most followed companies and the top five most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets platform.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
Joining us again on the podcast today is Alan Green. Great to have you back, Alan.
Thanks, Anita. Nice to be back. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks, very well. Enjoying this hot weather.
So, Alan, what is grabbing your attention these days? What companies have you been keeping an eye on?
Okay, I have quite a long watch list, Anita, mm-hmm. but three in particular today I wanted to bring to your attention. This has been covered many times on the podcast before. Bidstack, of course, is the company. BIDS is the Epic Code. And to say this company's had a stellar year, I think, is something of an understatement. The company has its own unique proprietary technology for in-game advertising. So, as we know, the computer gaming network globally is an enormous marketplace, 138 billion, growing at 13% per annum. There's something like 2 billion games worldwide. There's also rapid growth in mobile technology as well. And it's with the bandwidths that we're all now experiencing the internet on, of course, high definition graphics and games can be served extremely quickly. So rather than the old fashioned ads that you used to see in your game, if you're say watching a football game, you can actually through Bidstack's technology, you would now be able to play the game and you would see current advertising, but advertising targeted to you, just as you would say in an internet browser. And the great thing is that why people are so excited about Bidstack is because they are the first to market with this. And obviously that's a great claim to make, but this has been validated very much by the series of board appointments that they've made, and also the people that have joined the company to take it forward. This chief exec and founder James Draper owns, I think, about 20% of the company. They have an ex-Apple chief technology officer on the board. July the 2nd, Derek Wise, the founder of Grapeshot and current VP at Oracle, joined the board as a non-executive director. Plus, they have an advisory committee where they have people from Spotify and Trade Desk basically providing advice and guidance for this technology going forward. So if you think about it, we know what the global advertising, we're now huge that is. So, and obviously you look at companies like DoubleClick and all the rest of it, and the markets that they take their clients to via internet browsers, via TV and via other channels. Bidstack have effectively created a whole new channel by it, and so these companies can now will now in the future be able to take their clients out to gamers online as they play the games. The technology has also been validated by a number of surveys. A survey is undertaken by Lumen Research, tracking eye movement, and the results way exceeded expectations. The company also announced in May it had raised a further $5 million to support support the growth of video game ads, and the directors subscribed to the placing at the time as well, which clearly is again great support from the board. Going forward, there's a series of validations coming up, but the company are already working and have contracts with some key players. And and once the show is on the road, so to speak, we've currently got a market cap of some 70 million. But given that, given the size of the global marketplace, I think, you know, once this is in place and once it's entrenched into the advertising inventory offered by the global advertising agency network, we are going to see some I still expect we're going to see some serious exponential growth in this company. Clearly that comes with a caveat: shares can go down as well as up, so I'll just slot that in there.
Of course. And you were mentioning that they're bringing in all this new talent from a huge breadth of different technology facets. Do you think that this means that maybe down the line they will be looking into advertising in other sectors, or is it just to bring expertise from those technology sectors into the gaming world?
I think it's both, Anita. I think the people they bought in are big hitters in this sector, and what they're doing is preparing the ground. Bidstack, let's not forget, are first to market with this technology. Mm-hmm. So they've come to market. From an IPO last year, it's been a spectacular run, and the company is now a long way down the road towards total validation of the technology. The next step really is that once the validation has taken place, it then becomes part of the global advertising offering disseminated out by the major advertising agencies across the country, so they can then offer their clients this channel as well as conventional TV, internet, mobile, and so on. So it's a whole new sector, and when you consider the size of the you know, just how much money goes into advertising globally every year, advertisers now have a chance to reach the gaming sector, which is growing at 13% a year. You can get some idea of the potential in the future. Right. But so it's a very exciting company, a very exciting technology play at a very exciting juncture.
Okay, so Bidstack, and what else are you keeping an eye on these days?
Okay, so this is a company in my neck of the woods. The company are called Destiny Pharma. The epic code is DEST. The shares would trade as high as 130p on the year, as low as 60p. Currently trading 68p with a market cap of 30 million. So this company has it's based in the Sussex Innovation Centre, and indeed with Brand Communications, one of my companies, we are also based at the Innovation Centre too. And I know the founder there, Dr. Bill Love, who's been working at the centre for many years. So Destiny Farm have developed what they call the XF series. It's a series of products under the XF moniker. They're light activated antibacterial drugs, and they the the flagship product, XS73, which combats MRSA, which is a major problem in hospitals throughout the world. They've just they recently finished the phase 2B clinical development for MRSA prevention. The company has strong backing. It was brought to market by Angel Co-Fund via placing it £1.57p, and this was last year. So clearly the shares have come back some way since then, but with companies, what we also spoke about Tiziana Life Sciences last week, there's quite a runway for these drugs to be developed, to receive validation, to receive approval from in particular the US FDA. But there's a lot of support for it in this country. The government announced a 5-year action plan on antimicrobial resistance, which is the field that Destiny operate in. The company also received a grant earlier this year, $1.6 million grant under the UK China AMI program, and Destiny is also undertaking collaborations with Aston and Southampton universities. So as they've gone through this process, the IP has become substantially de-risked. The marketplace is growing. In the results in early April this year, the company announced that losses before tax had increased. R&D costs had also increased too, but the company has $7 million cash in the bank, so it's fully funded through to the quarter two next year. It's now, through its research, looking at the market market size of well over 1 billion. So given the market caps at 30 million at the moment, the company is well on the way towards validation. So it's approaching what I would say is a pivotal stage in the life of a life sciences company.
And so as a company positioned to take advantage of, as you said, a market opportunity worth, maybe $1 billion, do you see them as being uniquely positioned? Are there other players that they are really neck and neck with, or have they sort of taken the edge here?
Well, I think with that there are always other players. It's a crowded marketplace in any respects. But as with Tiziana that I discussed with Adrian with Abraham last week, Tiziana have a new unique molecular technology. And in fact, Tiziana also announced the results on Monday, which shows that their developmental process has taken place without any side effects on its on the patients undergoing trials. But with Destiny, the MRSA is an ongoing problem in hospitals, particularly post operations. So this is that they are very much at the forefront of developing a drug to combat the superbug at this time. And clearly, there are other players in the market, but Destiny are further down the road. Their drugs have undergone more advanced testing and technology. So it's highly likely, I think, that they will be first to market with this once they receive final validation and approval.
Okay, and what else do you find interesting these days? We've done Destiny Pharma, BidStack. Anything else?
Yeah, I'm going to. There's one more company I want to talk about. Then I want to talk about an innovation in the funding sector for mining. Firstly, I'm going to talk about a company called Grand Vision Media Holdings, GVMH. Now, this is a company that was founded in Hong Kong in 2014, and they have brought three-dimensional 3D glasses-free technology into billboard advertising. Now, clearly 3D, as you probably know, if you go to see Star Wars or anything like that at the cinema, you put the glasses on and everything comes out of the screen and it's a wonderful experience. These screens are, as they say, glasses free. So this is a step forward. And the GVMH currently have panels in over 180 locations across China. So they're China focused at the moment. The global marketplace for digital signage was worth $15 billion in 2015. Research has shown research taken along with JC Deco, who are well known in this field, say the signage market is going to be worth some $30 billion in 2024.
Wow.
Which is, of course, huge growth. So GVMH and their 3D screens are looking to take a chunk of this market. And clearly, you know, 3D is very much it's very current. It's something that with the immersive experiences you get in media nowadays, being able to take that and just place that onto a screen so you can see these images come out at you without having to put glasses on is quite an experience. So the company said last year it would be undertaking a series of deals in 2019, which it has done. It's undertaken, it rolled out a contract with Daddy Cinema Group in China, 22 new cinemas initially, Seaway Group in Korea. It is an agency that they've contracted with to introduce the network and pilot across Korea. They've also undertaken, they also have an arrangement with Rakuten Bank in Japan, to provide services. They have a screen at Narita Airport, for instance, in Japan. And the company has made steady progress. There was a broker note published for the company by TS Capital at the start of the year, which forecast EBITDA of just over £1 million for full year 2019. So on the earnings ratio that's applied to that, they have a price target of 25p. Shares are currently trading at just 8p, 8.5p, with an 8 million market cap. And given that the company announced last week that it had raised $670,000 in convertible loan notes, that's basically an arrangement where those loan notes can be converted to shares, the redeemable shares at 0.15p, and a warrant with them. That's the company is now fully funded to progress to the next stage and move this forward. So this is a smaller speculative play, but given the market that they can potentially sell into at 8.5p, given that the broker's got this target against it, it looks as though the company is well placed to further progress this technology and roll out with further partners throughout China and the Far East.
And as the Chinese market is so large, do you see any hints of them being interested in expanding in more Western markets, or do you think that's really going to be the focus for the foreseeable future?
I think that'll be the focus for the super future. But the reason for listing in the UK, well, in fact, it was a reverse that they RTO'd into GVC Holdings last year. So, and the reason for that was to once they had established a firm platform across China to then roll out to the rest of the world, obviously including the UK. So that's very much in the plans of the company. But given where the company is. It's certainly the initial target is all about consolidation in China and developing the network there. I also see these, and again, this is pure speculation on my part. Given the global signage market and given the key players in there, if they're able to develop this network and get a sufficient foothold in the market, they could become a very attractive takeout target for one of the bigger players such as Clear Media or, as I said earlier, JC Deco. So,
So finally, you wanted to talk about sort of an innovation happening in the mining space. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yes, indeed. Well, I interviewed a gentleman by the name of Richard Lloyd a couple of weeks ago, and Richard runs a company called Minexia, M-I-N-E-E-X-I-A. And Minexia have developed a program, a platform called NR Private Market. And what NR Private Market does, it brings together mining professionals and investors. It puts in front of them opportunities in the mining sector. Now, I invest frequently in mining companies, and obviously there is inherent risk, and you have to understand what you're investing into. The risks are greater or lower. But what I like about the NR Private Market platform is that you have a board of vastly experienced mining professionals, both at the coal phase, as it were, and also at the corporate advisory, corporate finance and advisory level. So these guys have put together a team. And they are taking mining projects onto the platform that they have undertaken the due diligence and the vetting process for. So when the opportunities arrive on the platform, they are already, should we say, pre-vetted to a point where the risk processes are understood, the environment that the mine or the project is based in is well understood. The marketplace for the resource when it comes out of the ground is understood. So the boxes are ticked. And clearly, you know, as I said at the start, that, you know, mining does have an inherent risk depending on where you are. But this team of people at NR Private Market actually take some of that risk out of the process. That they've already successfully rolled out a couple of projects, and there are some on the site. But this is a platform that is aimed at the experienced and sophisticated investors. So, but it's just, again, it caught my eye. It's as I say, after speaking to Richard and interviewing him, it's a very sound offering, and something that I think will be most welcome by sophisticated investors who maybe don't have the time to undertake their own due diligence, and also, of course, mining companies with suitable projects that they think NR Private Market can help expose them to a broader spread of investors.
And so, on the platform, is it sort of a one-way informational flow where it's going from companies to investors, or is there more of an interaction there?
Well, you have to clearly, for an investor to sign up, they have to undergo the normal KYC progress, the Know Your Customer process, and they have to sort of establish with the platform that they are sophisticated investors, and then at that point they're exposed to the opportunities that are available on the website. But as I say, if you take 10 mining projects, I think probably if NR Private Market or the team there were had 10 projects put in front of them, they might take up maybe one or two. Clearly not every project that comes to them gets through, as you can understand. That there are many projects out there, but there's a long list of criteria that the opportunities have to pass, if you like, before they can get to the platform and be put in front of the investors that have signed up to invest into the projects.
Well, thanks so much for coming on, Alan. This is, as always, very interesting and very informative. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Anita.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
Joining me now on the podcast is Richard Houlihan, CEO of Polarian Imaging. So thanks so much for coming on today.
Nice to be with you, Anita.
Before we get started in your big news, could you just give our audience some background into what you and your company do?
Yes, absolutely. So Polarian is a drug device company. So that's a regulatory designation that reflects the fact that we have a machine, a device, which is called a polarizer, that takes the inert noble gas xenon, happens to be the isotope of xenon, xenon-129, and excites it to become a contrast agent that we use in functional magnetic resonance imaging.
And as I mentioned, you had big news recently. You announced that you have a plan to raise £2.1 million. So I guess I have two questions there. First, how are you going to raise these funds? And second, what are you going to use them for?
Yeah, great questions. So as anybody keeping an eye on us would know, the history of our company from an investment banking point of view has been kind of the stepwise raising of funds according to the achievement of milestones. And so when we went out last year, in December of last year, to raise money, that raise was designed to take us through completion of the clinical trial and the end of 2019. And so that by definition means that we would be out raising money again to commercialize the technology. Mm-hmm. So we just held our investor symposium in London, the middle of June. And in the symposium, the collection was well received, well attended, well received, very happy about that, about twice as many people as came to our first one the year before that. And we had a kind of a brief session afterwards with both existing and prospective investors. And their advice to us was probably best not to wait till the end of the year to start trying to raise this money. Mm. And we had good interest from the existing shareholder base. And most of this money came directly from existing investors. So on the basis of their advice, we did a short cycle raise and we're happy to be able to get this done.
Well, that's great. And so what are your plans for the funds?
Yep. So this will carry us through construction of our new drug application and most of 2020. So that was the design. We've been very clear with the market on their desire to see us do this in a stepwise way. And so we set them up and knock them down, and people seem to appreciate that.
And in the RNS that announced this raise, I also saw you have some updates on your clinical trials. Could you tell me more about that?
Yes, I can. Great, great question there as well. So we are out in our clinical trial. Our clinical trial, just to revisit that a bit, it's a non-inferiority head-to-head trial. And we had previously been doing that at our two closest collaborator sites, Duke University, which is our home base, and the University of Virginia, who is our largest customer. We were not as happy as we could have been with the rate of completion of one of the two pathways in the trial. So we deployed a third system at the University of Cincinnati, who is also one of our close collaborators. We have an SBIR grant with them, specifically to accelerate the lagging leg of the trial. So as we sit here today, we're at 91.7% complete on the lung transplant pathway and 68% on the lung resection pathway. And adding this third site will allow us to complete the two trials in the third quarter, so September.
So it seems you have in the near future a lot of developments coming. I guess as you look down the pipeline, what are you most excited for?
Well, I think when we began this, we saw a tremendous opportunity simply to help pulmonary medicine finally have the medical imaging tools that the rest of medicine has had for the past 30 years. So we, you know, the industry revolutionized medicine with the development and introduction of CT scanners and MRI systems. But pulmonary medicine was kind of left behind out of all that because they were never able to be used for imaging lungs. Mm. And so with the addition of our drug, our contrast agent, now we can assess pulmonary function from top to bottom, and happy to be bringing that to market. What's most exciting is, and we had always hoped this would be the case, we're continuing to develop the technology as we go along. And one of the things that you would have seen in the investor symposium there in London, and that's all available as video on our website, I'll mention, is that we have now begun to push this technology into cardiology. Mm. So we're now able to evaluate from in a research kind of way the existence of pulmonary arterial hypertension, which is a condition that troubles many of the patient population and which is very difficult to assess non-invasively. The way that medicine typically assesses that is by threading catheters through your arterial system and heart and trying to observe pressure directly in vessels, which is a daunting and expensive procedure. And we now have an MRI-based technique, which is beginning to show cardiologists the ability to assess that non-invasively in an MR scan. And that's just terribly exciting.
I guess my last question, I wanted to touch on what you were mentioning before about how you decided really to do the raise now based on feedback directly from your investors? Because that sounds like a much more direct channel than maybe I'm used to hearing about. How has that informed your business strategy? And do you see that being a channel that you want to continue exploring in the future?
Yes, certainly. So we have developed a wonderful set of shareholders in the course of all this. We've been out to the market several times raising money and have managed to work our way up in the scale of the funds that we're addressing. And those folks take an active interest in their investments, and we benefit greatly from and certainly enjoy discussing our strategy with them and keeping them posted on the events of the business. And it's just been a wonderful situation for a small startup in our space to have the advice and counsel of those guys and continue to benefit from their recurrent investment.
That's great. And to close out, I will ask you the classic Vox Markets podcast question. Could you give our audience members three reasons to add Polarian Imaging to their Vox Markets watch list?
Yes, I would be very happy to do that. So if you look at our published research, there are several things to keep in mind. I think we have been very conservative in the way that we have approached the business case and the investing public here in presenting a very stepwise approach to all this, which begins with a single application, which is pulmonary medicine in a single market, which is the U.S., first, knowing but not counting on, and you won't see this in any of the published research, not counting on any other clinical applications to contribute to our economic performance in the future, and not counting on any other geographic market to contribute to our economic value in the future. And so every one of those country or regional territories are integer multiple opportunities of our current plan, and any other application that we're able to commercialize likewise have integer multiples, if not order of magnitude effects in our plan. So a very solid basis, a great intellectual property portfolio, and upside opportunities in a very material way.
That's great. Thank you so much for coming on, Richard.
Thanks, Anita, for having me. Have a good day.
You too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And now for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets platform. At number five, we have SafeStay, ticker SSTY. Number four is Vodafone Group, ticker VOD. And number three, Polarian Imaging, POLX. And number two, Rockrose Energy, ticker RRE. And at number one, we have Incandesi Energy, NCCL. And finally, the top five most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets platform. At number five, we have DevClever Holdings New Contract, ticker DEV. At number four is Incandesi Energy's new JDA. At number three, we have ARC Minerals, ticker ARCM, with results from their drill program at the Chiesa target area in Zambia. At number two, Versarian, ticker VRS, with their new transport infrastructure technology preview event. And finally, at number one, Core Gold's new exploration permit.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research. Want to know which companies are about to list on the London Stock Exchange? To see an up-to-date list of all the new and upcoming London IPOs, please visit voxmarkets.co.uk/IPO-watch.
Planning another business trip soon? When you fly Emirates, you can really make the most of your journey. Emirates offers a luxurious chauffeur-driven transfer from your door to and from the airport. You'll have access to the Emirates Lounge, where you can enjoy a drink, explore an international menu, or even take a shower. And on your flight, you can enjoy all the comforts of Emirates' world-class service. Get more from your business trips with Emirates. Book now on Emirates.com.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month. No commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.